Hey everyone, welcome back to Mercy Talk Podcast. My name is Melanie Carter and I am your host. And I'm also the director of outreach here at Mercy Ministries. And for any of you who might be new to Mercy, you can learn more about our ministry and find more information about who we are and what we do on our website. And that's at mercyministries.com or at mercytalk.org. We at Mercy are all about helping people find lifelong freedom and healing from the different things that the enemy tries to hold them back with. And so one of the things that we're going to be focusing on over the coming weeks and months is something that we are really excited about, and it is a new book that our founder and president, Nancy Alcorn, is going to be releasing this fall called Ditch the Baggage. And for those of you who may have missed last week's show, I encourage you to go back because we had Nancy on our show and we're just kind of talking about an overview of that book and the different principles that are going to be covered. And so I just encourage you to go back and listen to that if you missed it. But we are really excited to start really unpacking the principles from that book this summer. We're going to have lots of different guests on the show. We're going to have some of our Mercy counselors coming. And we're excited today because we have Nancy Alcorn back with us on the show to really start unpacking the first principle, which is total commitment to Christ. Nancy, we are very excited. Thanks again for joining us today.
I am happy to be back. I know I promised that everyone they were going to get to hear all these other people, but we just decided I would come back and do this one mainly because I think for people to really understand that first key, which is total commitment to freedom. In my life, it started the day that I asked Jesus into my heart, total commitment to Christ. What does that mean? What does it look like? Well, I asked Jesus to come and be the Lord of my life. That means that I'm not the boss anymore. He is. And I get a new nature. And it's not about, you know, it's not about focusing on bad behavior, but it's realizing that you are a son and a daughter of the King, whichever you may be, and that you have a heavenly Father who has given you a new nature, and you now have the power to choose to go a different way. Deuteronomy 30:19, God says, this day I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life that you and your seed may live. And you know, that can have a lot of different types of application. I mean, us preachers like to say that'll preach, you know, or us speakers, you know, that'll preach.
Yeah.
That actually does preach because, man, God's saying, I'm God and I'm telling you, you have the power now to choose. It's like a teacher that gives you, that scripture always reminds me of like when we were in school, we get the pop quiz and the really cool teachers would tell you the answer to the pop quiz.
Yeah.
You know, so you get a good grade because they just wanted you to get a good grade. Yeah. I don't know if you ever had a teacher like that. I didn't have too many, but I had a few. But God says, hey, this day I'm setting before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life that you and your seed may live. And in my life, I've never had any, it means natural children, biological children, but it also means spiritual children.
Right.
Who's on the other side of your obedience to God? So it matters for my life, first of all, that I've totally, the day that I committed my life to Christ, I said, I remember reading a scripture, and I call it a fear of God scripture, but I remember reading a scripture that said, I was a freshman in college, and I was nervous to tell my roommate that I was a Christian because I thought she would think I was a nerd, and I didn't know her. We got paired together, and so I was sitting on my bed waiting on her to come back, and I read the scripture that said, the Lord said, if you are ashamed to confess me before men, I will be ashamed to confess you before my Father in heaven, mm-hmm. Jesus said. But if you confess me before men, then if we're connected, then and you want me to own you, then you got to own, on that day when we stand before God, you got to own me. I just remember thinking, I need to be all in.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to walk in freedom, we need to be all in, mm-hmm. because it's the choices we make that either take us down the path of continued freedom, or as it says in Galatians, you know, the Apostle Paul wrote this to the Galatian church. He said, once you were free, why are you now being entangled again with that same yoke of bondage? In that case, he was talking about religious law, mm-hmm. you know, religiosity. But we're not talking about freedom. It's not about a religious deal. It's freedom. It's not moral, your moral conduct. As I said last week, freedom is having a personal relationship with Christ and knowing who you are in Him. And then He, as a gift, we cannot earn our salvation. We cannot earn our freedom. Jesus went to the cross and paid the price for it. So what we do is we surrender our lives to Him and we receive Him into our heart. And then we allow Him, the Word says, as we get in the Word, we renew our mind. Romans 12, 1 and 2, I think is a good starting place. Romans 12, 1 says that we should dedicate our bodies to God, our bodies. So our bodies are not supposed to be destroyed by drugs or by cutting or by an eating disorder. Like I had an eating disorder years and years ago, and I had to make a decision. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so I need to dedicate. I remember as a young Christian, you know, trying to fight through that eating disorder that I didn't even know what it was because people didn't talk about it back then. But I began to realize, no, this is not about me overcoming this behavior. This is about me connecting with the one that I belong to and dedicating my body to God. And the Living Bible says, when we think of the fact that Christ died for our freedom, is it really too much that He's asking for us just to dedicate our bodies to Him? So Romans 12, 1, dedicate our bodies to God, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. And then Romans 12, 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So if the world says it's okay to go get an abortion, some people think that's okay. Some churches think it's okay. Some government, our government says it's okay. But we know from the scripture that every life is precious to God. So if I want to walk in freedom, I need to choose things that are in agreement with what the Word of God says rather than what the world says is okay. Our bodies belong to God. They're not meant to be for use or abuse. You know, the girls that we work with at Mercy, for example, that have been trafficked or in many cases molested as little girls or raped or whatever, people go, well, why did God allow that? Well, the truth is that there's two sides of this equation. John 10:10 is what I like to call a dividing scripture. And it's the thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And there's another scripture that says that God is good and God does good. So the thief comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. So anything on that side of the equation is not from God, it's from the enemy. And Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So I want to tap into that abundant life, and I want to enjoy the freedom that Jesus paid such a huge price for on the cross, because He literally shed His own blood. He bore our sin. He bore our pain. He bore everything. He took the pain and the shame and the rejection and the abuse and the broken heart and all of everything that any of us would ever face in any of our lives on Himself on the cross, so that at our point of need, we could come to Him and we could receive freedom as a gift. Mm-hmm. And so let's say if somebody has been a heroin addict and they get set free from that addiction, then if they want to stay free, then they just don't go back over there and pick it up again and get entangled again with that same yoke of bondage. You have to continue to choose life. Instead of saying, I'm a drug addict and I'll always be a drug addict, we teach the people we work with to say, I am a new creation in Christ, according to what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. I am a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. So there's power that comes out of that. And it's power to stay in a place of freedom, to keep my body dedicated to God, to continue to know that I have the power to choose to identify with who He is in me and who I am in Him. I'm a child of God. I'm a daughter of the King. I was born for greatness. I've given myself to Him. I'm not going to conform to what the world says. In fact, in Psalm 119, it's the longest chapter in the Bible. It says, how can a young person, I believe it can be anybody, but how can a young person keep their way pure? Ask the question. And then it gives the answer, by conforming my life to the Word of God. And so there's such freedom in that. And people that are trying not to do something, it's nothing more than willpower, trying not to do something, and it's living under the law. Mm-hmm. But if we really understand that Christ paid the price and it was for freedom, He set us free, and we receive that as that righteousness as a gift, then we can enjoy being his child, being his daughter. We can enjoy the days that we don't do everything just right and perfect, because no one does, but he still has given us his righteousness as a gift. So let's say that I have done someone wrong, really wrong, and I go and I ask them to forgive me, and God restores that relationship. Well, if I turn around and do the same wrong thing that I just asked for forgiveness, them to forgive me for, I have given not only that person a legal right to be upset with me all over again and angry with me, but I've also given the enemy a legal right to come and oppress me with that, because I went against what I said. I said, I did you wrong. Will you please forgive me? And then I turn around and do the person wrong again. So it's about staying in that place of making right choices. Mm-hmm. It's not about moral conduct, even though there's certain moral conduct we will choose, but it's not because we're under the law, but it's because we're free to make that choice. Because Christ, he said that he came to fulfill all things and to make all things new. And we are the ones that he came to make new. So we get a new nature and we are a new creation. And so we have to operate not fighting for victory, but we operate from the place that we have victory, mm-hmm. because of what Christ did for us at the cross.
Yeah.
I love sports. I always like use this analogy, but sort of like watching the replay of a game. Let's say your favorite team, you're at church and your favorite team kicks off at noon, and so you tape the game and watch it later. You know, if I'm watching the game live and my quarterback throws an interception, I'm nervous, man. I'm pacing. But if I already, I'm not one of these people that can wait to know the final score. I have to know the final score, even if I'm going to watch the game, the replay, you know.
Right.
So if I already know that we won at the end, then I'm not going to be pacing and all nervous when my quarterback throws an interception. And that's how,
sure.
I believe that's how God wants us to live. Yeah. He wants us to live free, because if you go to the back of the book, you know that we win.
Mm-hmm.
If we belong to him, we've already got the victory. We have already won. So when we mess up, and we will every day, it's not God's will for us to beat ourselves up and to be filled with guilt and shame and condemnation, because it's clear that, you know, I believe it's Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who walk after Christ Jesus and not after the flesh. Well, walking after Christ Jesus is not having perfect behavior. Walking after Christ Jesus is understanding that he paid the price, mm-hmm. and all of our sins, past, present, and future, they're forgiven. It's important to confess our sin and receive forgiveness. But it says, 1 John 1:9 was written to believers. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So we don't need to sweat it, because it's impossible for us to be perfect. But he's imputed righteousness to us, has imparted it to us as a gift. Mm-hmm. And so when we have received Christ, when God looks at us, he looks at us as beautiful and clean and righteous as his son who never sinned.
Yeah. And I think that that's perfectly describes why, you know, we talked a little bit last week, you mentioned about how the different keys to freedom that are discussed in Ditch the Baggage and that we use in our residential homes, it's not a sequential order, like you do this step, then you do this step, then you do this step. We kind of picture it like spokes on a wheel, and you're kind of jumping from different things throughout the process. But in our little wheel, the center of it is that commitment to Christ. And so until you're operating from that place, right. I think you explained it perfectly, because when you are committed to Christ, then you're fighting from a place of freedom, not for it. You're already fighting from a place that I am free, it is finished, Christ paid for this.
Right.
And so it completely changes the whole process.
Yes,
when you're operating from that place.
And it's such a great paradigm shift, and people need to understand that fully to get away from trying to be good.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there is no one good, not one. That's what the word says. But we receive his goodness and his righteousness as a gift, and then we understand that we have authority as a believer, and we have power to say no.
Yeah.
We can say no because we have power. You know, one of the coolest stories that I know about is a friend of mine was speaking in Hollywood, California, 7 years ago at a conference, and I remember very vividly standing up and like a lot of what I'm talking about right now, just saying, you know, whatever the problem is, Jesus is the answer. You don't have to stay in bondage. You know, you may be here and you may be a drug addict. You may be a prostitute. You may be addicted to pornography. Whatever your problem is, Jesus is the answer. And he wants you to know he's not mad at you, that he came to set you free. God is not the author of your pain. He's not the author of your abuse. He wants to heal you and restore you and redeem you from all the years the enemy's stolen. And then he wants to turn around and instead of your story destroying your life, he wants to give you a new story so that you can not only have a restored life, but you can tell your story and go restore other people's lives. So I'm up there just making declarations of faith at this women's conference, just like you can be free. And I remember clearly saying, if you have an addiction problem, it's not once an addict, always an addict. That's what the world tells everybody. The experts of the world say, once you're this, you'll always be this, but that is not what the Bible says. You can receive freedom today, right now. And I remember, I knew the Spirit of God was leading me, but I did not know. I could feel that it was hitting people. And what happened next is one of the greatest miracles I've ever seen. And I talk about this story because this is not someone who came to Mercy Ministries. This is where we're headed with this material that we put together. It's to help the people out there. And there was a young woman. She was 42 years old at the time. And she had been living on the streets. I didn't know this. But she had been living on the streets. She was a dominatrix. She was a drug addict. I mean, she was a mess. And I didn't know she was out in the crowd. But some of her God chick friends, she called them her God chick friends, like talked her into coming to this crazy conference. And she said, I remember coming and I knew that I couldn't go without getting high, you know. So she brought her black bag with all of her, you know, drug paraphernalia and all that. And so she came running to the altar. Like, I didn't even have an altar call. The next thing was a break, and then Priscilla Shire was speaking after that. And I remember the ushers brought this big, tall girl to me. Her name was Dee, and she was just sobbing, crying. And I could tell she looked pretty rough, you know. And she kind of looked like she had slept on the streets the night before. But she was there, and she had given the usher this big, huge black. It looked like an old-timey black doctor's bag. Talk about ditch the baggage. She literally had baggage with her that she like, I have never. And she said, I have been in and out of treatment programs my whole life. I've been a drug addict since I was 12 years old. I'm 42 and I've never heard freedom and addiction in the same sentence before. I've always been told, once you're this, you'll always be this. And I said, do you want to be free? I said, because God says he set before you life and death and you get to choose. I don't even know how she knew to do this. She threw both of her arms straight up in the air. I want freedom. I want freedom. I want to be free right now. And I said, okay, repeat this after me. And I had a repeated prayer after me. I took authority over that addiction and broke the power of her life. I had her repeat after me. She was crying. And the ushers were like, what do we do with this? Thankfully, he was like an off-duty cop that was working in security. So he knew what to do with the stuff that she had given him, but she didn't want it back.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was 7 years ago, Melanie. And I actually write the story of this girl in my new book that's coming out 1st of October. That will be a part of all this curriculum we're talking about, is Ditch the Baggage. But I just got a text message from her just a few minutes ago. And I get a text like this from her at least once or twice a week for the last 7 years. But she sent me a text a few minutes ago that says, I am today 2,448 days a new creation in Christ Jesus. Because I said, don't ever call yourself a drug addict again, because if you identify with your past and it has power over you, I said, you start making proclaiming over yourself, I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things are new. Greater is he that's in me than he is in the world. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And I literally sent her a huge box. Like, this girl, she had never been in a church in her life, and she did everything we told her to do. I mean, she was such a joy to work with because we didn't have to get any religiosity out of her. She'd never been, she'd never had it put in her.
Yeah.
And I just want to read you guys. This is also in my book, but this is too cool not to share. But she wrote me an email not long after that encounter I had with her, and we have become friends, and she is literally one of the best speakers I've ever heard in 7 years. And she's spoken in every one of our mercy homes in the United States. And she's like super cool way about her. But I sent her such a huge box of my books, Joyce Meyer books, like everything that I got could get my hands on, God's creative power, Charles Capp, everything I could get my hands on. I told her about declaring and decreeing a thing, God will establish it for you. And she just got all that. She just understood it. And she got a taste of freedom, and she's like, man, I am committed to freedom. Mm-hmm. I know what it's like to be in bondage. And she wrote me this email. She said, I met you September 20th at the God Chicks Conference in California. I'm a 42-year-old victim of sexual abuse. I was a drug addict for 30 years. I came to you with my black bag to fully surrender my addictions over to Jesus Christ as my last attempt to rid myself of that hell that I lived in. You prayed over me, and I have not done drugs since. I gave you my black bag that was full of paraphernalia and drugs. That was the last time I ever wanted drugs again. Jesus took it away from me. You helped Jesus save my life, and I will never forget you. I have you in my prayers every night, and I have shared my testimony with many of the people at Oasis Church in Los Angeles. Because of you and all the God Chicks, and of course Jesus, I will never be the same. Thank you so much for the powerful words you said to me that day. I am truly free. And now that I am free and clean from drugs, instead of hiding from the world in fear of my next relapse, I have the power and love and sound mind of Jesus Christ. 30 years I have walked with this monkey on my back, and now it is gone. And she's got thank you, thank you, thank you in big capital letters. God bless you always. Thank you. And I mean, she jumped in to a support group. She put accountability in place. And because I was in Nashville and she was there, there was a group of women that surrounded her there and worked with her. And it's a lot like what it's going to look like when we get the study guide and curriculum out there, that there's going to be groups and there's going to be people walking through this with people. Mm-hmm. And freedom is just going to start happening, man. And the cool thing about this, we didn't plan this, but I think that the day this podcast... Yeah, today's July 2nd. So in 2 days, it's whatever day you're listening to this, it could be already after July 4th. But in America, we're going to be celebrating the freedom.
That's right.
Freedom Day. So a couple of days before that, that's when we're doing the show. So it's fun.
Yeah, awesome. Well, that's one of my absolute favorite stories, one of the most powerful examples of this key to freedom. And I think what's awesome about her story is just knowing, I mean, I've had the opportunity to meet her, and she's just oozing Jesus and joy. I mean, when you're around her, and I just think, you know, that I would think she would probably be the first to say life wasn't perfect after that. And it wasn't that I didn't struggle after that, but I made a commitment that I have not strayed from as far as my commitment goes. And so even though I may struggle and have some tough days here and there, I've remained committed. So I've remained in freedom, which is why she can send you those texts all the time.
Right.
So it's just an absolutely amazing story. And, you know, I'm really excited about the fact that we were able to have you here for this very first one, because everything hinges on this key. And so I think it's very important that we really start from this place and kind of move out from here. You know, next week, we're going to start unpacking the next principle or the next key to freedom, which is healing life's hurts. You know, we all have experienced hurt in our life, and a lot of times the enemy likes to start there to start putting us in bondage. And
right.
So we're going to start off by unpacking that key to freedom next week. And, you know, we just want to remind everybody that while we've been talking a lot about this Ditch the Baggage curriculum, and I know that you all can tell just when you hear Nancy speak, even on these podcasts, or if you've ever heard her speak live, you know that she's just constantly, I mean, like half of what you hear coming out of her mouth is just the word of God. And so the principles that are in this book and in this curriculum are straight from Scripture. This isn't rocket science or some magical potion that we've put together. This
right.
is straight out of the Word of God. So it works for everyone. And the same keys that helped this woman get out of her drug addiction is the same keys that help someone deal with issues of insecurity or just whatever it might be. These principles of freedom work for anyone of any age, of any gender, of any background. They work. And so we are really, really excited about it. And I want to make sure to remind everyone that our Mercy's 2-day Freedom Experience event is happening here in Nashville on October 2nd and 3rd. And just to give you a little bit of an idea, we are actually going to be walking through the keys to freedom from Ditch the Baggage that we use in all of our homes. We're going to be walking through those keys at that event. And so it's going to be an awesome opportunity to come and really not just learn about them, but actually experience them and help to learn how to apply them to your life. So we encourage you, if there's something that you're struggling with, or there's someone that you know who's struggling and you want to know better how to help them, please sign up for this event. We are really, really excited. It's going to be our first of what we hope is many. And so please make sure you sign up. You can actually get more information and register today at mercymultiplied.com. So please don't forget to do that. Nancy, thank you again so much for taking the time to be here today.
I love it. And you guys listen the next few weeks, because you're going to, like I said before, you're going to hear from some of the most amazing leaders / speakers / teachers / counselors. It's going to be awesome.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, everyone, for listening, and we will see you next week.